You're listening to Balance Not Burnout, a podcast helping leaders rethink the speed of their business. And I'm your host, Mark Williams. Join me as I explore the power of a more intentional, balanced approach to leadership. Thanks for listening. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Balance Not Burnout Season 2. Today, Episode 6, we're going to talk a lot more about burnout. So sometimes burnout creeps into our lives, but we can work ahead to make sure it doesn't happen. Today, I'd like to introduce Dr. Marie-Helene Pelletier. She's a psychologist with a systems mind and has both a PhD and an MBA. She has over 20 years of experience as a practicing psychologist and as a senior leader in the corporate, insurance, governance, and healthcare sectors. MH's unique talent is bringing together workplace and psychology, and she's really a specialist with burnout. She even has her own book. So, Dr. Marie, welcome.
And you can call me MH. Thank you, Mark. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with you.
So I'd love to know what got you interested in burnout and a little bit about your background and how you ended up doing what you're doing.
Yes. By chance, early in my career, me and my now husband moved in northern Quebec, a small remote area. And early in my career, I had the chance, because I was there, to work in many different areas as an early psychologist. And one of them was employee and family assistance programs. Mm-hmm. And there, and that's now quite a few years ago, I could see how if people were able to access resources early, they could truly change the course of where otherwise things would have gone. So the impact of being able to be preventative. And so that's what got me there. Then having lived in Northern, I decided to do my PhD research on, at the time, what was called telehealth, which was providing services via video conferencing. That was considered pre-embryonic at the time. And then that required a lot of management. So I decided to study management after awesome. This. And with these tools, then continued with my career.
So I normally I start the podcast. I'm going to insert it here. Because we talk about burnout, I'd love to know on a personal level, assume it's a Saturday or Sunday morning and you have no responsibilities. I'd love to know what a perfect Saturday morning is for you and with whom and what you would share it with.
Oh, well, it also will depend on what else has happened in the week. But an example of what that could look like, I tend to wake up very early before anyone else is awake. So that's a time where I usually like to go for my physical exercise outside, ideally, either in the nature or just outside. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll have time to also do a little yoga, a little meditation before. And by little, sometimes it's 4 minutes, but it's a combination I love. Then there will probably be time with family and friends during that day, ideally unscheduled, because the rest of my time tends to be very scheduled.
Yes, so I would agree.
That makes it ideal.
So it's interesting what you do. You're mixing both the corporate world and psychology, which I find super interesting. From my perspective, we've done that a little bit with salespeople. We've done training seminars on the psychology of where to sit at a sales meeting, or body language, for example, or reading people's how people make decisions, right? Always offer things in sets of three because most people like options, right? That kind of psychology. But yours is a little bit different. So why don't you talk a little bit about how you use your background and your knowledge in the corporate world?
Yes. I use it to, sometimes people think I'm an organizational psychologist, right? Mm-hmm. Someone that focuses on the psychology of the organization. I'm not. I'm a clinical and counseling psychologist who has also the management background. So I focus my support, even though I absolutely fully understand that this is a system. So we have individuals, teams, and the organizational culture, and they all interact. And I work with all, really. But my unique angle is how can we help the individuals, especially the professionals and leaders here who are high performers and delivering so much, to make sure that they retain their resilience and build it and sustain it over time so that they can continue to do what they're fabulous at and what they want to contribute to.
Describe for me the definition in your mind of one of these professionals burning out.
Yes. Well, if we start from the actual definition of burnout, maybe let's just start there because we use burnout
a lot.
All day, every day. Yes. But there is a definition, and it's supported by the World Health Organization. Three main criteria. One, we're exhausted. Second, not necessarily in order, but the second criterion is we're cynical. So we've lost hope that anything's going to change. And the third is it's impacting our performance. Now, burnout does not appear instantly. It builds over time, which means if we look, we're going to see the signs earlier. So before being fully exhausted here, we have less energy. We're a bit more tired, right?
Sure.
Before we're cynical, we're not feeling the love as much, less engaged. And before we see major performance problems, you're going to start seeing more unusual for you things falling through the cracks. We all have some at times, of course.
Sure.
But we all know where that line is when we're starting to, I don't know, send the wrong proposal to the wrong client. That's not the usual falling through the cracks, right? So you can catch these signs there. Mm-hmm.
Do you find right now, I find it's increasing. And I don't know if that's through my lens, but is there more work for you? Like, are you finding more and more people are burning the candle at both ends, starting, there's a cynicism in, I would argue that there's a cynicism kind of engulfing the world right now. It feels a little bit more cynical. So I'm curious if you're seeing a rise in what in our definition of burnout, and then we're going to talk about how we can prevent it, hopefully. So is there a lot of need for your work?
There is. There is. And more, even more exciting for me, there's more of an interest in catching things early, protecting ourselves early, taking the lead on how we can at least mitigate some of these factors. We know from research that because one of the challenges with burnout is we definitely have more people everywhere saying that they are more burnt out. When they say that, however, if you're just asked, are you burnt out, Mark? Quite likely you're thinking about, am I exhausted? And
correct.
You may say yes, which actually does not mean you meet all three criteria, right?
Sure.
So we are running a bit into this kind of thing, like, you know, huge number of people reporting burnout, but sometimes it's just, are you burnt out? Yes or no. Sometimes it's using a full, validated, reliable tool that makes us see that it is actually meeting burnout.
Sure.
Now, the other thing too is that, does it matter less if you're telling us you're exhausted? Yeah, it's also important, right?
Even if sure.
So anyway, it's semantics at some point. Bottom line is, we are talking more about mental health for a number of reasons. The pandemic is one of them. It's one positive aspect. We are talking more about it. And we're paying more attention within ourselves as well. So whether we talk or not, we are more self-aware. We could be even more, in my opinion.
Sure.
We talk more about it. But even when we're looking at full, you know, very reliable, valid tools, we are seeing an increase in burnout as well. So yes, it is something for us to pay attention.
Yeah, I'll even say for me and my employees, if I look at technology, it has made our lives much easier in some respects. I would also submit it may have made our lives a little more difficult. And I'll give you a few examples of that. And also what I expect of my employees. Customers and even my employees can reach me in a various number of ways, way more ways than when I first started to work. There's email, there's a text message, there's through our intranet at work. I'm being bombarded by messages in various locations as opposed to just used to be on my voicemail at work or in an email or in a letter. Now I get 100 emails a day. I'm getting 30 voicemails a day. I'm getting text messages throughout the day. I get LinkedIn messages throughout the day. Technology has also made our jobs a little bit easier, but now we're asking more of our employees, I think because we have sped up the system. And so for many of our employees, we've raised the bar. If you used to be able to process 30 applications a week, now I can process 60 because of technology. So now there is a little bit more of a workload. There's more communication. We're expecting a little bit more. So I fully understand that, and I'm sure that led to, and I want to make sure we talk about your book. So Dr. Pelletier, MH, has released a new book, The Resilience Plan, A Strategic Approach to Optimizing Your Work Performance and Mental Health. So let's talk a little bit about your book, the inspiration behind the book, and the value of the book.
Mm-hmm. And what you were talking about a moment ago, about we've raised the bar. It's true for all the reasons you just described. It's also raised for other reasons. We've got even more of technology and AI coming into our professional and personal lives that will also demand a lot of changes, adaptability for all of us. And so the key thing is, if we're raising the bar, we also want to raise the resilience. Because if we only raise the bar and keep resilience the same, this is not going to
track in a good direction. Disaster for sure.
Right. And that's in part sometimes what happens when people sometimes say, okay, why should we need to be strategic about our resilience? Is that not pathetic? Like, should we not just be fine? And we've been fabulous and we're continuing to be as fabulous. Not pathetic. It's just that the sport here has changed. If we were just going for walks before, no matter what we are wearing in our, you know, in terms of shoes, probably fine. But if we're deciding to go run, a marathon or something like this, wrong idea to go in any shoes here. You need to have the equipment and other pieces of equipment as well. So same thing here. We've raised the bar. There are more demands. Sometimes it's in part where we're at in our career. Sometimes it's a combination of more demands on the personal and the professional side. For all of us, we have more like societal changes, like the pandemic, like the AI. And so therefore, the level of demands we're facing is much higher. And if we're not taking deliberate action, proactive, ideally, then we're a bit more at risk. And if we are taking these actions, which is the essence of the book, then we've got a chance to definitively mitigate the risks and quite potentially lead how much resilience we have and can sustain over time.
So talk a little bit about the inspiration for the book.
Yeah. It's working with my clients, my executive coaching work and my speaking work, professionals and leaders that accomplish so much all day, every day, and they get to that point where they just need something to give them an edge. And then they realize all these pieces about, okay, I need to do something, but I don't have time. I don't know what exactly, what do I do?
Yep.
And then they would come to me sometimes and say, well, MH, it can't be that complicated. Look at all the things I have sustained so far, all the ways in which, hello, I have been resilient.
Right. I've been successful. It's been working for me. Right. Everything's great.
I am that guy. Like, I am that person or that woman. And so, and then I would say, okay, but because they are so accomplished in a number of ways, it almost looks too simple to them. They're like, yeah, I'm already like this. And then here's the analogy that led to the book is I tell them, I'd say, look, if you were in the business here, in business in general, in your organization, you have a great idea on a certain new product or service. Would you just have that great idea and implement? Or would you have that great idea and look at who else is providing this? How much are they charging for it? Who is paying for it? What forces in the future could impact? You would look at all this. That's the context.
Sure.
Same here. You would be strategic. We need to do the same here. We need to look at our overall context and build a strategy. And that's, as I was using this analogy and more people saying, after working with them on building their strategy here, they would say, I'm so glad I've got this now moving forward. And I so wish I had this earlier in my life. And then hearing this a few times just led to finding a way.
Super interesting. So let's talk about, if you don't mind, I don't want to give away the book, obviously, but let's give enough away for people wanting to buy it. So let's talk a little bit about that strategic plan, if you don't mind, or maybe the basics of the plan and how someone can get started and why they would want to buy the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there are, I'll give you even some ideas of even exercises you could try now, even without the book. So that you can, what we really want, what I'm really after is even more people thinking strategically about their resilience and taking action. And so however you get there, that makes me happy, really. But in the book, what I've done is I've extracted some of the tools, some of the things we use on the business side and translated them for here, our context, because they resonate with anyone in business. They resonate with anyone who, even if you're not in business, they make instinctual sense. They are very easy to get. So I get people to first write down their main values, what's most important for them in life.
On a personal level, meaning, yeah, so well, what's important everything. To me? Okay.
Could be, you know, someone may say what's important to me is influence. It may be power, kinds of things they associate with their work. It may also include family. It may include health. It may include travel, whatever.
Yep.
Everything. Then I get them to do an exercise where they write. Again, we go writing because you need to externalize this. We use this often in psychology for all kinds of other circumstances. It does help us take a distance. See it. And plus, you don't need to rethink about it tomorrow. It's in writing. Two columns looking at your current, in this current context, your current sources of supply, what gives you energy, okay? And your current sources of demands, what demands energy. Now, I usually say this, people just like you right now, you're nodding, you're like, yeah, you know.
Sure.
Well, here's the thing. Highly performing people tend to overestimate their sources of supply and underestimate their sources of demands.
Sure.
It's as if we're positively biased. That's in part what pushed us forward, right?
Right.
Oh, I don't need to do this. I'm fine. And this demand's not too big. I'm doing it. And we carry on. And it's been very helpful. However, can't sustain this forever. You know, sometimes I ask people, you look at their list of supply and they're like, oh yeah, you know, bike ride 3 times a week. And I say, oh, right. You know, next looks good. How many times in the past week, last 7 days? And then they say, well, actually the last week has been very busy. So no, but in general, well, then it doesn't go on that list. You need to get very real with yourself. And that's when people switch to that very real, what goes on this list, that it allows them to see how, number one, this doesn't quite correspond to their list of values of five minutes ago, and it looks off, right? Then we'll look at their context, and I won't go into details there, but very similar to what we would do in business in a SWOT analysis. This time we're looking at your personal context, internal and external. And then with this, we build a strategy just like we would do in business, pillars, tactics or actions under each pillar. And that's what you go for. But here, the actions will not be huge and aspirational. They will be extremely doable because what we want is to move you to action and build that sense of self-efficacy.
So you're real, I love the SWOT analysis. So you're literally building a plan, much like I would for a strategic plan at work, our strengths, our weaknesses, our challenges, right? Our opportunities. So you're literally looking at your life like you would your business.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. And can it be that simple? Is it that simple? Because, and you opened up by saying that it almost sounds too easy. I just don't take the time to do it, which is, I think, some a part of your message, correct?
That's right. And it does not take a long amount of time. It's an investment that requires a bit of self-awareness, a bit of doing the work. But yeah, no, in the book, I propose exercises. They usually take 5, 10, I think the longest is 15 minutes, maybe. So they don't take that long of a reflection. But then you do have a plan, you know where you're going, you can lead this. I mean, if you think of it, on the business side, doing a strategic plan, I mean, could be made to be a very complicated endeavor. It could also be fairly straightforward.
Sure.
And so same thing here, but it changes everything.
At work, we have something called KPIs, key performance indicators. It's our map, if you will, or a snapshot in time of showing the health of the business. Mm-hmm. And every business has their own, and oftentimes it's profit, revenue, expense, the easy things. Equate that to my life, which I think, if I think I understand, might be back to the energy list, right? So here are all of the things I'm feeling and or wanting, and all the things that are taking my energy. And now I'm going to build this SWOT plan on either increasing my energy, reducing my...
The demands, sort of.
The demands, yeah. Thank you. So is that ultimately kind of what you're trying to build here?
I think it could be one. Because I think, I mean, the what is for sure is that just like a strategic plan here in business needs to be measured in terms of its efficacy and yep. updated over time, you would want to do that here. In terms of how exactly you measure it, which KPIs are you using, it may differ from one person to the next. I think for many, yes, it could be that that scale of how much energy do I find I have, 0 to 10 scale, and I'm just checking in with myself on a daily basis. That could be that. It could be, but for different people, it may look different. For example, someone I worked with did this whole reflection about their values. In their case, they valued family. They also valued the work they were doing that they enjoyed. Okay. Then they looked at their supply and demand, realized that there was nothing, literally, no time with family members, no time with the kids, no time with their partner. There was nothing right yeah. now. And that's how life looked like. And so for this person, part of one of their pillars became family, literally. And some of their actions here was initially once a week, leave work at whatever that particular time was. Sure. They decided it was 5, leave at 5. No matter what, tell everyone I've got a personal commitment. It was not like an appointment, but it was this person's commitment to going back and being with their family. And so for this person, their KPI may be, how many check marks do I have in the past month of the one day a week that I left at 5?
Sure.
Okay. So it may depend.
Let's talk a little bit about results. Yeah. We're in a results-oriented business, and you're working with people who are results-minded.
Yeah.
Great. I'll read the book. I'll do some exercises. What should I expect? What's my expectation when it's over?
You can build your strategic plan with the goal here to be increase my resilience. If that was your goal and you've built this plan according to your values, your context, and all this, then you will see an increase in your resilience. Okay. So your ability to go through the challenges and still meet them with energy and come out even stronger will be there. For some people, they will decide that their strategic plan will be more specific to a specific, to a sub area, if I can call this. Yep. They may say, I already know I need to work on my boundaries, and my plan is going to be about increasing boundaries. And my pillars will be specific about this: boundaries at work, boundaries at home, boundaries about my personal self-care, for example. Yep. So for this person, then what they may expect is just see themselves move in a direction of even more boundaries. So it will depend on what your plan's focused on, but you should see movement in that direction, just like in business. If you're making a strategic plan to sell something, you're going to sell more of it. And if you're not, when you're assessing, then that means there's something in the plan that you missed, or something changed and you need to adjust.
What have you found that are some of the biggest obstacles that you've run into with working in the corporate world with both with what you do, the consulting work and the book?
Well, there is actually an interest in people doing it for themselves and helping others do it. I think that in some cultures, that may be they may be early in these types of conversations. What's friendly with approaching it from a resilience, from a strategic perspective, is that it's using language we already use in other areas, so it makes it a bit easier. An obstacle might have been if the topic was treated even more clinically, potentially, then that would make it, the content will be equally valid, probably, but the words here would be too far from the words that we use for them to be easy to bring in our daily. So sometimes that's a bit of that stigma that is less now than what it was, and probably will be less in another 5 years.
If corporately I feel good, so I feel good about where I am, business is good, I'm optimistic, but in my personal life, I may be burned out there.
Yeah.
Is there still a benefit to the book, number one? And I would imagine there's still a benefit to doing the SWOT analysis and everything else just on a personal level. What takes my demands? Where do I feel deficient? I'm assuming that regardless of where you are in life, you could be burned out either corporately, personally, or both, or not at all, professionally, but personally.
Yes, to be technical, the term burnout as defined by the World Health Organization is actually an occupational phenomenon. So technically it's more related to your work. But if we use the word a bit more broadly in terms of being exhausted, for example, for all the energy, cognitive, emotional, behavioral that we invest, say, in taking care of an aging parent, supporting a friend who's moving to a new country, and then moving our child from outside the home to their first year of university, all this will be very demanding, right? But, you know, emotions don't stay in their lane, right? No. So even if work is going great and home or personal life is very challenging, sometimes we think that we can keep things in their lane. But sure. The reality is that lane's all in Mark, that lane's all in MH here, and therefore they are actually together. So yes, if we're finding that right now, from a corporate professional perspective, things are actually really going great, and we're having challenges here, it's still all in the same person. Absolutely need the resilience band. This one may be more, require more actions for you to change on the personal side in this case, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. What little tidbits of advice could you offer our listeners that are interested in the topic, but want to get their feet wet? Are there things that they can do at home, or questions they can ask themselves, or tips and tricks that might lead them to move in a certain direction?
I know. Love that, because that's sometimes that's how we start, right? Even if the full deal would be fantastic, the reality is, number one, our lives are full. So we need to start small to build that momentum within ourselves. I'll give you two ideas that I like. One is, not just I like, research would support as well. The first is, and it's the beginning of so many things, it's this, that self-awareness. You know, we talk about it quite a bit in the context of emotional intelligence, for example. But truly, again, if I use a business analogy, you know, when in business would we ever say, you know what, I don't need to know how things are going right now, just let me know if there's a crisis.
Yep.
No, we want information. We want to deal with things early. We want to avoid the crisis. Same thing here. So why not print a calendar from the internet, post it on a wall that you visit each night where you brush your teeth, maybe every night, a 0 to 10 scale, put a number. How was your energy level today, average? Simple. Excellent. It will take you 2 seconds, but that will start giving you, it will be internally consistent because it's only you rating it each time, and you'll see it. 8, 7.5, 7, 6.5, 7, 6.5, 6. You'll catch it before you're down here.
Sure.
So so I would say that that self-awareness would be a key piece. And I'm sorry, remind me of your question. I got distracted by my own.
Yeah, so that was the first tip. Great trick, right? So not even a trick, great tip. So try to mindfully monitor your feeling, your tiredness, your exhaustion, your enthusiasm for work. You're asking people to be mindful of that in a very specific way, and a calendar doing that on a daily basis is one great idea. Fantastic. Any other tips that someone might be able to look at or monitor in themselves, and they might go, hey, maybe it's time for me to do a little work on myself.
I know, exactly. You could do that exercise we discussed earlier, writing down your supply and demand, because that's one that very consistently of all of these, they work well together. But if you're going to do just one, that may be the one to start with, because for many people, they've told me just doing this shifted and gave me an idea of something I can try. So that's it, perhaps one. And then a third one I would say is, you know, when we're, and we've heard this, especially in the context of pandemic, that research saying that, oh, if we're going to increase our resilience, there are 4 areas that if we invest in these areas, we're more likely to increase it, like exercise, nutrition, sleep, and time with people we enjoy spending time with. Yep. And that's an example of how all of these things look so simple. And we all do them to some degree. So we're like, well, what is that going to change if I pay more attention to any of these? It will. And so if you're wondering what to do, my audiences of high performing people, most of the time they have some form of exercise going on. Very often it's a very active exercise, cycling, running, you know, hiking, whatever.
Yep.
Meditation is often the piece that they know would be good for them and they have not yet turned to, or they tried and hated it, or they tried and they think they're not good at it because their brain was going. But research is solid in this area. And if you start small and change your success criterion, success in meditation is not, I will encourage you to consider this at least to start. Don't see success as, was I an A-plus student at calming my brain? No. Success here is, did you press play on, because many will use that in an app.
Yep.
Did you press play and stay sitting here just trying to do it for this entire time? Doesn't matter if your brain went away. Did you do the instructions? Bring it back when you did. If you did that, full marks.
Interesting. Interesting you say this. My therapist would, I am literally listening to his voice as you speak, telling me to attempt meditation. What he would say is, even if it's not meditation, but you can find 5 or 10 minutes alone with no distractions, no noise, no music, no phone, just by yourself with your thoughts, you're a step in the right direction. Would you agree with that?
Would agree with this. Another example of action sometimes that I'll recommend is, if there is an activity you do in life right now that you often do while doing something else, listening to music, listening to a podcast, not yours, Mark. Mark, you always want to listen to Mark's podcast. But if there is an activity where you could actually just do the one thing, not do two, take a pause. Actually, just listen to Mark's podcast at one point and then just go walk your dog. Just be with your dog. Not dog and podcast going on at the same time.
Right.
You're more present in that one moment and your brain will thank you because brain prefers one thing at a time.
Awesome. 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 So let's close with, where can we find your book? Where can we find you? And we will have, we'll post, once we post the podcast, we'll have all of these links, but where can we find the book? Where can we find you?
Yes, everything at theresilienceplan.com. If you go to theresilienceplan.com, you'll find the book, what I do, me, and you can find me on LinkedIn too. Always love connecting over on LinkedIn.
Well, to summarize, if any of the listeners are feeling a little bit exhausted, maybe starting to feel a little cynical, maybe it's affecting your performance, there might be burnout that's beginning. And even if it's not, if it's just one of the three, perhaps taking a look or listening to some of the tips or taking some of the ideas that MH has recommended might start you in a different direction. So I want to thank MH for being on the show. Super thrilled to have you on. Thank you again.
Thank you, Mark.
And for everyone else, this is Balance Not Burnout. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. If you think balance is as important as I do, at work and all throughout your life, help the show out by leaving me a 5-star review, following me on social media, or sharing the podcast with someone you think would appreciate it. If you have comments or questions, I'd love for you to join the conversation with me on LinkedIn. I want to thank OBI Creative for producing the podcast and Swills Beats for getting the music for me. Thanks for sharing your time with me today. And until next time, this is Mark signing off.